We will look at things as we have never seen them before. We think we've seen the beauty of roses. We think we've seen the beauty of nature. We think we've seen people. We haven't. There is a day that is coming whenever we will be just like those people and look and say, "That's blue. That's what blue is supposed to look like. That's what a flower is supposed to look like. Those are mountains. I've never seen anything like that." The day is coming when for all eternity, we will see things as God designed them. We will see things as God intended for us to see them, intended for us to experience them. It will be that day whenever we will be in awe and shock, and we'll bow before Him and say, I never knew. I never knew what You had designed for us, what You had created for us until today. You know, to be honest with you, we just need to be honest with one another. I think a lot of people, including most likely some in this room, if you were to be honest with us, if we were to have another round, kind of like our prayer and praise time, and we were to go through and say, who's afraid to die? Probably a lot of us would say, well, I don't really want to admit it because as believers, we're not supposed to admit it. But I'm a little afraid. I'm a little fearful. I don't know what to expect. In fact, some people, even believers, would say, I'm a little afraid of heaven. I don't know what to expect, and it makes me a little anxious. It's unknown. There's only one who's been and come back. But He's told us some things. We don't know, and we don't sometimes understand how incredibly magnificent and wonderful the things are that God has planned for us. And we're afraid we're going to be bored, we're afraid it's not going to meet up to our expectations, and there's a lot we don't know, but we have clues. And so today, if you will forgive me for dreaming a little with you and going, in some cases, a little beyond what we have explicitly written in Scripture, I want us to dream together about our life for eternity. And I think the clues are there. I think we are justified in drawing some conclusions, but I want to admit to you from the very start that some of this is a little conjecture, and my biggest fear is not that I'm telling you more than what will be the reality, but that I can't describe how incredible it's going to be. That's my fear. My fear is simply that I'll shoot so far short that whenever we get there on that day, and we have eternity, one of the first things you're going to say is, you remember that sermon series? Wow. Yeah, you missed it by a mile. This is so much better. But I want us to look at the last chapter of Revelation, and I want us to read a few verses, these first five verses of Revelation 22, which really begins to wrap up this description that we've been given. And remember, in Revelation, they use a lot of pictures. And the wonderful thing about pictures is you can begin to get some ideas about what it might be. But the bad part about pictures is it underwhelms at times in terms of the magnificence of the reality. But I want us to look, and then we'll begin to think about what might this look like, what might our new life together be like in eternity. So Revelation 22 verses 1 through 5, and it says, "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The rivers of the tree were for, the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the cross that line from this life to the next, that is when life truly begins. And in Ray Summers, one of the commentators that I've mentioned to you before, says, in symbol, God says, heaven is a place of perfect fellowship, perfect protection, perfect provision of needs, and perfect service to God. In short, heaven, eternity, our forever life, is that place of perfection where who we were created to be, who we were designed to be, finds fulfillment in a world, in a creation that God is exactly how God had designed it to be. God is our designer. And eternity is the place God designed for humanity. It's what the garden was supposed to be. It's what that start was before the reign of sin, before the fall and the rebellion of sin ruined not just our lives, our relationship to God, but ruined all of creation. And I think sometimes that's what we misunderstand, is that it's not just our relationship to God which was damaged. It is truly all of creation which was involved in this fall, in this rebellion, in terms of its damage through our rebellion. And when we get to that eternal life with Christ, everything is restored to the place where God had designed it. So you and I are restored to the place where we were designed to be. We become human in the fullest sense. But not only that, we live in a place that is restored to the way in which it was designed to be. Now, there's three aspects of the garden which were restored and brought to fulfillment that I want us to talk briefly about today. The first, in verses 1 and 2, we find the first two. And it begins by saying, then the angel showed to me the river of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Now, if you remember, if you were here last week, we talked about this city, this amazing, incredible 1,500-mile cube of a city that is described for us, the New Jerusalem. And through the middle of this city, right down the main street, the primary street of this city, flows the water of the river of life. And the verses there tell us that it is bright as crystal and flows from the Lamb of God. Now, in the Garden of Eden in Genesis 2:10, it says that there was a river flowing out of Eden to water the garden, that is, to give life to the garden, to bring life to that perfect creation as it was designed by God in the first place. And there it divided and became four rivers. It stretches out and it reaches out. The impact of the Garden of Eden, this water, was to have spread life in the original design, in heaven, we find that it flows from the throne of God. And it doesn't just water the garden, it is the source of life to all who drink it. I was thinking about John 4:14. If you remember the conversation that Jesus has with the woman at the well, he also describes this water that flows that brings eternal life. In John 4:14 it says, "But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become a well of water springing up to eternal life." So that eternal life that we lost in the garden, the ability to live forever, to be in perfect relationship with God forever, for all of eternity, was lost to us in the garden. And Jesus tells this woman, "In me you will find the restoration of that water of life." And then in Revelation we find that fulfilled, restored back so that we have that ability to live with him for all of eternity. But it's not just the water, it's also the tree of life. And it continues to say, these verses 1 and 2 continue by saying, "Also, on the other side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations." Now, I don't know about you. I love this time of year. And one of the things that I love are the blossoms. I don't know if you noticed the blossoms that were on the front of this month's Monthly Connect. They're actually, most of those are gone now. But they've been replaced by the apple blossoms, right? And then there's the next one that comes, and the next one that comes. And they're fabulous as they bloom and as they show that the year is continuing, and then they begin to produce fruit. And what Scripture tells us about this tree of life, which, by the way, is now not just a single tree. This is the tree that caused us to fall in the garden. It was the tree of life that we pursued, desiring to be like God, to take the place of God. And it was that tree that caused us to fall. And now it has been restored, but not just as a single tree. The description is of lining the river of life is this tree of life that we can take the fruit from, and it produces 12 kinds of fruit. I don't even know how to, you know, what kind of tree produces 12 kinds of fruit, and that every single month. Now, I don't know about you, but I love fruit and the thought of a tree that produces 12 kinds of fruit. But not only is it just providing for us, and that's the symbolism of that, is that there is provision and it is open for us to take, to eat, and it is for our healing. It is for, and it never, that supply never ends. It never stops. It never, there's no season for the supply of this provision of God, but it is constantly coming in terms of every single month it's new. Every single time it's fresh. And there is fresh provision for us, for our needs, for whatever we need. But not only that, it's for our healing. The leaves are used for the healing of the nations. There's no more fighting. There's no more war. There's no more strife. No more misunderstanding. There's an end. So we have, in these first two, we have life. We have life in him, but we have also his provision for us that our needs will be taken care of. But not only that, there is healing. There is peace where there was once war. That there is an end to the discord and strife. But then, most importantly, the curse will end. Verse 3 says, "No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him." Now, the curse, and this is the curse of our rebellion, and this curse of our rebellion impacts us in every single aspect of life. Our understanding, our feelings,
our relationships, our thoughts, how we experience life, creation, every single part of who we are and the place where we live is impacted by the curse. And when that curse is lifted, what we've experienced is just a shadow shrouded by the darkness of a broken world. And in that day, the curse will be lifted. And notice it says that there will be, no longer will there be anything. You and I will understand in ways that we've never understood. Our feelings will, no longer will we react, and will our feelings come out of hurts of the past, of those misunderstandings that those leaves will heal. No longer will we misunderstand others. Our relationships will be complete. Our thoughts will be complete. Sometimes our thoughts are so clouded by that shadow of sin and rebellion, and they will be made whole. Our experiences, we will experience things as we've never experienced them before. There's no fear. There's nothing to fear. We experience true life, and we experience creation the way it was designed to be. We have these moments of that right now, don't we? There are so many moments where we are now experiencing glimpses of what is to come. There's beauty. When we look even at the sun shining through these windows, we think, what an incredible beauty that is. We walk through the apple orchards near our house, or we laugh with friends. We experience these things, these glimpses of heaven. Those will be fulfilled in that day. How many of you enjoy a good meal? I do. Yes. The best we have today, the most incredible banquet that we can imagine, is a shadow of what we will experience there. Matthew 22:2 says, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son." In Revelation 19, we're told that we will feast together. Now, you know, as we think about, again, I think so often we're afraid of the things that are unknown. And we think, but I enjoy so much of life here. How can I be sure that life there will be a match? We need to understand that what we have here is only the slightest shadow. We won't lose things. We will gain things. The biggest, the best meal we can imagine here becomes a banquet of incredible diversity and an incredible table that's set for us by God. The fellowship that we have here, the friendships that we have here are just a shadow of the relationships that we will have there. Remember, we've talked about the fact that our bodies will be much like Christ's resurrected body. I think we can say that with assurance. And those distances, if you remember a couple of weeks ago, we talked about that one of the things in Revelation is when it talks about the oceans being gone, that really what it's talking about is we are no longer separated. That somehow, maybe like Jesus, physical distances don't, no longer are a problem. And if we wish to see someone and spend time with someone, we can do that. We can spend that time instantly. Jesus knew the disciples. We will know one another. Get used to one another, by the way, because we're going to spend eternity together. So, yes, we'll spend some time along that river talking and fellowshipping together and being together, and that fellowship will be perfect. Jesus knew the disciples, and they knew Him. He was different, but yet He was the same. We will be different, but yet we will be the same. The good news is He ate and drank. I don't know about you, but I'm happy about that. Because that's one of the things I enjoy. Here's the thing. There are things that were broken by sin. Those, the brokenness will be gone. The design will not. The things that make us human as God designed, those will remain. What will be gone is the curse, the sin, the rebellion. We find purpose in the garden. There was work. We find purpose in work. We find opportunity in work. I believe that in eternity, we'll have work that makes sense. We'll have opportunities to make a difference. We'll have opportunities to debate and to talk and to discuss. So often we're afraid that we will lose the things that make us who we are. But the truth is that in eternity, we will actually find the opportunity to be who we were truly created to be. Anything that you can imagine that is a part of being human that has been cursed and misshapen, has been warped by that curse, will be made whole. And we will experience not only God in a way that we've never experienced Him face to face, we'll experience the fellowship with one another, we'll experience joy with one another, step out and have that opportunity to wander and be a part of creation in the way it was truly designed. It will all be made right and restored to the way it was designed. C.S. Lewis says, "Joy is the serious business of heaven." Joy is the serious business of heaven. I want to encourage you. This life is but a shadow. This life is but a shadow. We have the opportunity to work, to be a part of what God is doing in His kingdom. But eternity is God's gift to us. We can let go of our fear. We can let go of our misunderstanding that perhaps we will be there, it will be less than what we have here. It will be indescribably more. And the joy that we saw in that video at the very beginning will be nothing compared to our joy whenever we look and we say, that's what God designed that to be like. I never knew. I never knew. I want us to do something as we close this sermon and this sermon series. I want us to say the Lord's Prayer together. We're going to have it on the screen. I want you to look at this prayer differently. In fact, I'm going to give you a moment just to read it through. But I want you to read it through now with Jesus knowing what is waiting on us. Let me just point out a couple of things before we read it together. He says that we should pray that God's kingdom will come and His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus knows that in that time and in that day, in all eternity, all of those things will be made right. And as we pray this prayer, we are praying that here we will see more and more glimpses of what that perfection, that restoration will look like. Give us this day our daily bread. Provide for us, Lord. You're going to provide for us in a perfect way in eternity. Provide for us. Forgive us our trespasses. Forgive us where we rebel against You, where we come short. Just as we forgive trespasses against us, as we in a small glimpse, do that which you will do in all of eternity. Lead us not into temptation. Don't allow us to fall for the schemes of the one who desires to destroy us, but deliver us. Prevent us from going down that path, because your kingdom is all that counts. And you have the power, Father, to make it happen for your glory, not just for now, but forever and ever and ever. Would you say this with me, please? And you can say it in German or in English, whichever one is easiest for you. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Father,